promenade across the floor. Says she right on out the door and into the glade, and everybody promenade.
You're tuned to the Square Dance Radio Network. Today is Wednesday, August 17th, 2011.
And you're listening to the Do-Si-Do Show, episode number 12.
Hi, I'm your host, Dale Hodge from Columbia, Maryland.
I'm Barb Jarvis from Wheeling, Illinois, and hello, Square Dance community. Today, we have the conclusion of our interview with Ann Ubelecker. Last week, we heard about her evilness and her goodness and her twin that shares that dichotomy. And today, we'll hear about Ann's advice from years ago being passed on, her proudest Square Dance moment, and her calendar.
So, Barb, what did you do this past weekend?
Dale, I had a wonderful Square Dance weekend and a couple extra days with friends out in Northern California. It was a really good weekend. We had three lady callers, kind of an anomaly.
Nice.
And it was a lot of fun. How about you?
I got to go to the county fair, the Howard County Fair.
Oh, yes.
Stuffed animals and little race cars and pig races. And on Saturday, I got to go to a Phillies game with my mom,
who
I believe I mentioned before, is in love with Chase Utley, the second baseman for the Phillies. She took a trip to Florida to try to get his signature.
Wow. She's a fan.
She is. She is a huge fan, and we got to go to the Phillies game with her on Saturday night.
I bet she cheers louder than any of you.
Oh, very much. She cheers, and it's a moment-to-moment, pitch-to-pitch thing. She actually brought Phillies jerseys. She's got enough of them that she brought one for Kathy to wear and one for me to wear.
Fun.
So, yeah, it's a great deal of fun.
Great.
Anybody you'd like to say hello to, Barb?
Yes, a shout-out to all of my friends who helped make last weekend great, and especially to Carla and Tom and to Jane, who went out of their way to take care of me and make sure I got where I needed to be and make sure I had a good time. So thanks, all. That was a great weekend.
That's wonderful.
How about you, Dale? Any shout-outs for you?
I want to give a big shout-out to my mom. I love her dearly, and I'm not sure that my heart nor her heart can really take many more of these Phillies games.
You got to love her energy, right?
I love her. I owe her an awful lot.
I
owe her an awful lot in my life. So, hi, Mom.
Great, great. Hi, Mom, from me, too. Even though I don't know you, I hope to meet you someday.
Yeah, I need to get her out to Chicago to meet Kathy's parents sometime
soon.
Yeah,
so
definitely. So we'll make sure that we come up and have lunch.
Fun. Okay. And here's the conclusion of our interview with Ann Ubelecker. We hope you enjoy it. So how do you pronounce your last name?
Ubelecker.
That's what I say, but a lot of people say Ubelecker.
Well,
I just wanted to
I'll
get that
whatever.
Out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we all do, but the easier your last name is, the easier it is to not worry about.
Exactly. Just call me Ann.
Ann. I'm a fan of Ann.
The evil twin.
No, she's the good twin.
No, no, no.
Oh, that's right. Sandy's not on the line. The good twin. Of course, I meant the
right.
good twin.
Does Sandy get the last word?
I do. See, this time it's me that gets the last word. It's never me.
Now, getting back to your calling, one of the things that I've heard, that I hear when I'm dancing, and a lot of times people don't know that I'm a caller, they will say, wow, she just has this great connection with the floor, with the dancers, almost like she's talking just to me, even though obviously, you know, you're calling. Is it something that you had naturally? Is it something that you worked hard on to develop? I mean, it's really like you're out there holding everybody's hand.
I've never heard that before, to be honest with you. I don't know that I can answer that, Dale. I do like to be connected with the people on the floor. I think as a dancer, I enjoy that when there's a connection with the caller. I know there are some callers that don't have the direct connection. Their connection is through their choreography. They're such brilliant people at writing choreography, and that is their connection. And I just like to be part of the whole program. I like to be with the dancers, so maybe that's what happens. I'm not sure. I don't think I can answer that directly.
Well, I didn't know you weren't aware of it, but I hear it all the time. I hear it at the The bar, not that anybody ever drinks afterward either, but I do hear it at the bar and whatnot, just that connection is there with you, and one of the things that that draws people in to dance with you.
Well, that's kind of nice to know. Thank you.
It's the personality shining through on the microphone. That's my take on it, but I don't know.
Well, that's pretty cool. Thank you. That was not something I was really aware of.
Sure.
It was just, I guess it's there and I didn't notice because I like to be there with the dancers. I feel like I'm on the floor with them. I just didn't look at it that way.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of
cool
choreography, as you were, you have a very nice danceable choreography style. How did you learn to do that? Is that something that you studied with the fellow who was working on choreography with you?
Yes, I did. He was a C3 dancer, but he had so many great ideas, and his idea is that it should be danceable, it should be smooth, and he said the downfall of people who just start to call usually is that they write so hard or they call so hard that people aren't able to dance to you, and you only get one shot at making them move, and if you don't do it, then they very quickly remember you for not being able to dance to you. So that was his theory, and I think I took that on right away. It made a lot of sense, and I watched a lot of newer callers for a bit, and I saw what he was saying. So I made a conscious effort to make things danceable and smooth. So I do sometimes have a problem with overflow because I do make it smooth and tend to make it too smooth sometimes. But I can always tell because the dancers look a little green around the gills.
One of the stories that I heard early on of someone that you taught is, I won't mention him, I will just say that he is a national caller calling through C3B. And apparently the two of you were at the National Advancement Challenge when it was in, well, I don't know where, but long ago. And he was having trouble on the floor, people couldn't get through his stuff. And you apparently were in the room watching, and he looked at you afterward, came over and said, "What's going on?" And you said, "Let me see your material. Oh, this is too hard." So he went back over dinner and did nothing but write. This was before computers. Did nothing but write material, pushing checkers, doing everything he could. And then before he called, he showed you the stuff, and you said, "And you think this is easier?"
Yes, and I know exactly who you're talking about.
He is known as being one of the more difficult callers, one of the more difficult national challenge callers around. So, but yeah, I was very impressed because I started learning more from him, and when he told me that, I thought, oh well, I always thought people like things really hard, just the way I do, and it's like, well, you know, you gotta hit the floor level, and so your experience, your mentoring has carried on, you know, to other callers through the callers that you taught to other callers.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
well, I look back over all those years, and the lessons that I learned from Dave Johnson have served me well right through to today. Because he said, you know, anybody can write hard stuff. Not everybody can dance it. And if you're going for the masses, then you have to make them dance, but you have to push them to the edge and not over. And it served me well a lot of years. It's kind of unique, too, thinking that he was a dancer. He had never called in his life, had no desire to, and had just decided that he liked to write choreography for something to do.
Yeah, that is kind of a thick hobby.
Yeah, it really is. When you think about it, it's a very thick hobby.
That's great. There have been plenty of non-callers who've written some really great stuff. I don't mean to put anybody down, but...
Oh, no, not... I know. There's... And, you know, well, you look at somebody like Bill Hyman, who everybody was afraid of for years. because he was the guru and you didn't want to make a mistake in his square.
Yes.
Well, there's nobody more human in the world than Bill Hyman.
Yes.
And yet he would help anybody that asked him, but everybody was too afraid to ask him for years.
And he writes nice sequences when he wants to theme a call that we need to practice working on.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And Stanley Winchester, who never called, but wrote those fabulous, crazy singing calls.
Yep. Oh, I just love his singing calls.
Yeah. But we're supposed to be talking about Anne. So I want to know if there's a few, if you have a story or two that you can tell us about either your calling or your dancing.
Nice story.
Family-friendly stories. Do you have a funny anecdote about square dancing that you'd like to relate other than the twin story that, and that's really plenty. If you don't have, if you can't think of anything else, that's okay. But just wondered if you had any anecdotes.
You know, there's so many people that you meet through this activity and so many funny things that happen. And when I leave on a weekend, if my face hurts and my sides hurt, it's been a great weekend.
Yep.
And that happens almost every single time. And I think the best part about square dancing is it's a big family. And every time you have a weekend, it's like a family reunion. And you laugh and you cry and you just have a good time. But as far as stories go, you know, no, they all kind of run in together.
Yeah.
And when you get to be 60, you forget which one goes with which one.
Well, when you get there, you can tell us about that, but you're not there yet.
Thank you, Barb. Yes, the other twin is there already, darn her. Poor thing. You know, she's so much older than I am.
There you go.
But, and I think the best part of it is the camaraderie among callers. You meet one or two along the way that you would rather not have, but 99% of the time, it's like a brother and a sisterhood. If you need anything, you can always get on the phone and talk to those people, and they'll do anything in the world for you. And it's the same as the dancers. It's just a special connection that the callers have.
Yeah.
And I think that's been from day one. Other than my very first caller who said that women didn't square dance or call. I'm sorry, women didn't call. The only other person that I ever met was Dave Hodson, who thought it was hilarious that I wanted to call C3.
Hmm.
Oh. Yeah, he just laughed. He said, really? I said, yeah. I said, why is that so funny? He said, well, first, you don't dance C3. And
well,
second,
that is kind of funny.
Well, yeah. He said, second, I don't think I know any women that have ever called C3. I said, oh, well, there's a challenge.
Now you really want to call C3, right?
Uh-huh. And the next year at National Challenge, when it was in Niagara Falls, I called C3. Well,
yay.
It wasn't really C3. It was C1.5 and C2.5 at that time.
Right.
And that was when I actually ran into Sandy, Mike Jacobs, Mike Kershaw, John Zabalski, Clark Baker. They were all new to the activity as well. So thanks to him, I did do the higher levels. Anybody that gives me a challenge like that, you know, you just have to take that challenge. You can't let it pass.
Right.
My girlfriend in college, she was a voice major. She'd listen to me, and then she'd finally say, maybe you should move on to something else. And I decided, okay, this is what I'm going to do the rest of just tell me I can't do it, and we're good. I'm on my way. And, of course, we broke up the next summer. So
I can't imagine why. Yeah, I'm right there with you, Gail. If somebody gives me a challenge, I can't let that go. So one day it's going to catch up to me. But
yeah, now, you've brought an awful lot of smiles to an awful lot of faces in square dancing, and you've done a lot of things. Is there one thing that you really feel that you're proudest of in your square dance accomplishments?
One thing.
Or three or five.
Six.
I mean,
yeah.
You don't have
to. Well, I think probably getting the golden boot. award
at
the IIGSCC convention was probably, it made me feel better than anything else that I've ever done before.
Wow.
It's a great honor to be given the Golden Boot. And,
please tell our listeners a little bit about what that is.
Sure. At the gay convention, every year somebody is honored with what they call the Golden Boot. It's for activities done through the year. Been lots of years before that, too. I think it's probably over a period of 10 years. They like to have at least that you're involved in the convention and square dancing in general and giving back to the community of square dancing, not just gay square dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody is honored with that award each year. And,
so dancers can get this too, right?
Absolutely, yes.
So it was extra dancers. Special that you as a caller were chosen, in my opinion.
Well, thank you. Well, I'm speechless about that because I really, you know, it was such an honor, and I was so not expecting it. It was in 1995 in Chicago at the convention,
mm-hmm.
and it was just great to be sitting among all my peers to be given that award and chosen to be honored with it. I think that's probably the thing that makes me the proudest. It's great to have gone to all these different countries and all these different conventions, but, you know, over time we all get a chance to go to these things, and it's new for each one of us as we get there, and it's a proud moment, but to me that was the best of the lot.
Well, congratulations. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
So switching from pride or from greatest square dance accomplishment, what do you in general find the most fun part of square dancing?
Well, as a dancer, I think just the idea of being with that many people who are friends and family and having such a great time, there's such a connection. We do everything together when we're all away on a weekend. Obviously, it's fun because we all as dancers pay a lot of money to go and have this great activity. As a caller, it's the connection with the dancers who are having such a great time. It's the power that the caller has to give these people that enjoyment. That's, to me, it's a high. You know, who needs drugs when you can go to a square dance?
All right.
That should be the National Executive Committee's new tagline. Who needs drugs when you can square dance?
When you can go to a square dance. I like it.
Okay, go ahead. You can use that.
No charge. No charge. No. And you, Anne, still call all levels and programs through C4. What's your favorite program to call?
Basic.
Really?
Yes.
The girl who wanted to call C3.
Yeah. Well, you know, it took me a long time to work down the way.
Yeah?
I started at C3 and then worked my way down. And for me, mainstream and plus was, I know this sounds funny, but it was a major challenge for me to be able to call those levels to begin with. And position mattered.
Yeah.
And, but now.
We're on the end of the way.
Yeah, exactly. Really? They have to go there?
Yes, they do.
So for me, now the new people that come in, if the excitement on their faces and the accomplishment when they're successful, I enjoy all the levels. Although C4 is a push for me because, that's an actual nightmare level for me, but. Anything
well,
else?
You don't dance it. Yeah, when you don't
I
dance
know.
It, it's got to be harder. Yeah.
Well, and I only have to do it once or twice in a year, so thank goodness. But and the C4 people tolerate me. They're so good about it. I have to, you know, admire their patience. I think it's just the newness of the new people coming in. They don't know what's going to happen to them. They look scared to death. And they walk out of the door at night. They've had a good time. If I've done my job.
Yeah.
That's the most, I think, rewarding. There isn't a level that I don't have fun at. Even C4, when it comes down to it, I do have fun at it.
Yeah. Do you have a home beginner class program, or do you do some one-night stands in your area?
I have both.
Good.
We still do the beginner classes every year here. And I do a lot of one-night stand things. We have a very large Jewish community center, and one of the vets that I work with, her husband was one that encouraged me to come in there. About, every 6 months or so, they have a huge, big dance for people who don't know how to dance. And there can be as many as 30 squares of people that don't know how to dance.
Wow.
And it's so rewarding. It's so much fun.
Sure.
And there's a lot of different organizations. Sometimes they'll ask me to come in and do it for a wedding anniversary or a 50th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And those to me are really exciting. You never know what you're going to get. Some of them there's bars and some of them there's not. And it makes a difference, too, on how you approach things, whether there's an open bar or not.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. And sometimes it's Girl Scouts and their mothers and, different groups at each one. It's a surprise when you get there. That's an exciting part for me. You know, after all the years I've called, that somebody can still, I can walk into a place and go, wow, I've never done that before.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I was going to ask you to tell us something that would surprise us about you, but you answered my question by saying that you still did a fair amount with beginners and people who've never danced. I think that that's a surprise to me. You're so busy at the, you know, national level and international level at all levels, you know, challenge programs and such, that surprises me. So good for you.
Well, I must say, Barb, it doesn't give me a lot of spare time.
Yeah. Full-time careers and then the fill-in work. Great.
Well, yeah. I'll go ahead and ask. Other than that, is there something that you can tell us that would surprise us? The accordion one was great.
Yeah, that's we got two out of her already.
You know, I don't think there's anything else left. I think
you're
you still have my surprises. I just kind of am.
Yeah.
Good or bad, that's about what I am.
Here's a question that we've been asking each of the people that we've interviewed. Is there something that we can do to get more people involved in square dancing?
Well, I think we need to do an outreach to different groups than we're going to right now. We actually had a super dance a little while ago, and John McKinstry, who is now in charge of our club, decided to get together with the country and western people here in Vancouver and have a street dance just out on the pavement, stop the cars. We had a great day. People were flocking in. And it was exposure as a combined group to square dancing and mm-hmm. country dancing. And he just took a chance on it. And it was a great day, beautiful day outside. And people walking down the street were, well, what is this? Well, can we do that? And we had a huge crowd. And we just hadn't tried that approach before. So that was a good step in the right direction. He's going to try and look into other groups of people and see if we can get together with them and just do the impromptu. Let's take some music. Let's go and do this. It's kind of like the guerrilla groups.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be working well. At least it has been in Vancouver so far. We've done two or three of them and just put the music on, started calling. People started dancing anywhere. And it's drawing a crowd, and it's showing people who we wouldn't have had the chance to, so to speak, expose ourselves to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. In the fall, we'll see how well that goes with getting new people into the class, but they seem very interested in it, and they had a great time, and so did we. Hopefully it'll bring new people in.
Yeah, great.
We'll see the results soon.
Can you tell us off the top of your head where we can find you around the country or around the world in the next month or so?
In the next month, let's see, Denver, Germany. We go from
different.
Denver to Germany.
That's right. They're right next door to each other, so that'll work out fine.
It's just a short hop, really. And San Francisco, I'm going through the calendar in my head here, trying to figure out where I am from weekend to weekend. Portland, Oregon, Eugene, Vancouver. Wow. I know. I don't know how that snuck in there.
Yeah.
So I am home.
How many weekends a year are you currently calling?
And you can't say more than 52.
Regardless of what it actually feels like. You...
Right.
probably about 40.
A good number. Wow. That's a lot.
And I have actually been trying to cut back a little bit because, you know, as you get older, it's the travel part that's it's hard on the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the years, it's the mileage. That's what they tell me.
I like that. Okay, good. We'll go with that.
Well, Ann, thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure. And thanks for having my twin on there, too. That's priceless.
As you said, you walk away from weekends with your cheeks hurting and your sides hurting from so much laughing, and I feel like that this morning. Just a great deal of fun. I love working with you. I love just sitting and talking to you, and I love having a beer with you.
Yay, well, me too. Well, thanks, you guys. I really appreciate it, and it was great. There's a lot of stories that have come up that I had forgotten about for years.
Good.
Good. All right.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, Ann.
Bye, Barb.
Bye-bye, Ann.
Bye, Gail. Good night, John Boy.
Yeah. Good night, Mary Ellen. Good night, Marisol.
Wow, she is so much fun.
Yeah, that was great.
And she travels 40 weekends a year. She has what amounts to a full-time job working at working with a veterinary hospital, and she's got family, and she has a program at home, plus does First Nighters. Very busy and so upbeat and so fun.
I don't know how you keep it up when it's that much work. That must be not work for her. It must just be fun.
Yep. I like the idea that she has two jobs that she absolutely loves. That's great.
Yeah, that is wonderful. This was the conclusion of our interview with Ann Ublacher. For the beginning of the interview, listen to the show from last week, August 10th, 2011. So, Dale, do you have any plans for this coming week or weekend?
I do. Kathy is out of town this weekend.
Aww.
And I am home alone. I have an advanced dance with a very fun group on Friday night, the Zigzaggers in Northern Virginia. After that, I haven't really decided what I'm going to do, but I have a feeling it will involve games and libations, shall we say.
We know what you mean when you say that.
So Kathy's actually flying to see her best friend in Indiana.
Uh-huh.
And so she flies out Friday afternoon and comes back Sunday evening. So I'll make sure that I have all of the dancing girls out of the house and things cleaned up. I mean, Kathy, I'll be sitting here waiting, pining for you to come home. That's what I mean.
You're such a good significant other. Well, it sounds like you're going to try to have a little fun, even though it won't be quite as fun as if Kathy were home, but maybe you can do it.
Absolutely. And what do you have coming up this weekend, Barb?
Believe it or not, I have no square dance plans on the agenda. I have a little time with family, but maybe I should catch up on some of those things that we procrastinators tend to not worry about until it's too late. Twice this weekend I've gotten bit by not being ready on time for something, or I would have been ready exactly on time, but some little monkey wrench got thrown into the works by life, as we know it, and made things a little tight. So I'm going to try and, no, I can't say I'm going to try and turn that around. I would like to try and turn that around. I'm not sure one weekend will do it, though.
But you've got to start somewhere. Every long journey begins with one step.
There you go.
A big thanks again to our guest, Ann Ublacher. This was part two of the interview. If you did not have a chance to listen to part one, it is episode number 11. You can get it off of SquareDanceRadioNetwork.com. You can get it off of iTunes, or you can get it off of Podomatic.com. Just search for Square Dance Radio Network. Thanks, Ann. We had a great time with you.
We sure did. This is Barb Jarvis from Wheeling, Illinois. Bye, Dale, and bye, everyone.
And this is Dale Hodge from Columbia, Maryland. Ciao, Barb. Happy dancing. See you on the dance floor somewhere. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.